How to discover your destiny. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, I pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'd speak to us mightily through the power of your word. I pray that you'd speak directly to us, and we give you praise. We believe you to do it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're coming out of 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to read the first 13 verses. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said to you, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you, and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." Verse 4. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. We're talking about destiny, and we said that your destiny is the sense of futurity. It is the expectation of the brightness of your future. Your destiny is a combination of who you are becoming, or the combination of what you are becoming, that is, the development of your character, your personality, your gifts, what you will accomplish. It is a combination of all of these things. Your destiny is where you are headed in life. It's where you are going. It is the end of the matter for which you are called. Now, when we're talking about destiny, we're talking about the greatness that God has instilled in you. We're talking about the great things that God has ordained for you to do, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God himself ordained for you to walk in since before the world began." Your destiny is the greatness that God has set over your life and intended to manifest in and through your life. The question is, how do you get there? How do you discover this, and how do you get there? And we're starting here in 1 Samuel 13 with one of the most powerful and important passages in all of Scripture for understanding the destiny of the believer. In fact, the destiny of every human being on planet Earth. Here, we're looking at the moment in which the destiny of David was revealed. Now, David was an incredibly important figure in ancient Israel. One of the most important, it could be argued he was the most important figure of the entire Old Testament era. David was massive. His influence was massive. He was the paradigmatic king of Israel. He was the greatest king of Israel. He was one of whom the prophets spoke hundreds of years after his death, and the Messiah was called the son of David. God made huge promises to him. He said, "You'll never fail to have a son on the throne." And he said through the prophets that in the last days, he would raise up the tabernacle of David and restore its ruins. How did David become so great? How did David become so awesome? How did he get such an incredible destiny? What is the path that David took towards greatness? Yeah. You know, when we think about the path toward greatness, we almost always think in purely human terms. You got to get the right education at the right school, and you got to have the right family connections and have the right amount of money. You got to get the right job experience, work experience. You got to work for the right firm, and you got to get the right internship, and you got to go through this process. And we tend to map out for ourselves a path toward our destiny, and then we judge our progress based upon our ability to walk out that path. Yeah, yeah. And so if you think you should have taken steps A, B, C, and D in order to be at your destiny in 10 years, then if you fail at step C, then you feel like I messed it up, I've delayed it, and I'm probably not going to get to my destiny because I have failed. And what you don't realize is that you may not have failed to take in the steps that God has set for you. Yeah. You just failed to take the steps that you thought you needed to take. Yeah, yeah. When it comes to the fulfillment of our destiny, we tend to lean on our own understanding instead of trusting in the Lord. Because what I find is that we have very little confidence in God's ability to complete the work that He began in us. The first thing you learn about your destiny, the first thing that we need to establish firmly in your heart, is that your destiny is not your dream for your life. If you want to understand your divine destiny, you got to start by understanding that it is not what you want for your life. It's not what you dream about doing. It's what God dreams for your life. And that's a scary thought to us. That's one of the primary reasons why it's so hard for us to trust the Lord, because we're so committed to our dreams. And we're so afraid that maybe the will of God is something else. And so if I submit to the will of God, then maybe He'll tell me that it's His will for me not to be married. Oh, I feared that one when I was a Bible college student. Lord, please. Maybe He'll tell me that it's His will for me to be broke for the rest of my life. If I submit fully my heart to His will and to His plan, maybe He'll show me that it's not His will for me to get a promotion. Maybe it'll be His will for me to be demoted and serve in a lower place in the company. See, what I want actually is for God simply to rubber stamp my will. What I want actually is simply to come to God with what I want, and I just want Him to bless it. And if He doesn't bless what I want, I feel forsaken by Him. We're crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we're not even on the cross. We just didn't get the job we thought we were supposed to get. If you can imagine David sitting out there in the field, watching over those sheep, what you must understand is that David was not out there dreaming about being a king. Being the king of Israel, being the greatest king of Israel, was nowhere in his imagination. He was not dreaming about being the father of the Messiah. He was not dreaming about having an everlasting kingdom that God said you will never fail to have a son sit on the throne. He was not dreaming. He could not have imagined becoming such a mighty warrior that when he entered a city, the women would just burst into spontaneous song, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. He could not have imagined what God had planned for him. And the thing that we see when we look at David is that God's plan for David was not less than David's plan for David. It was far greater than David's plan for David. And the fear we have of surrendering to the presence of God is because we think He wants to belittle us. What we don't realize is that His plan for your life is far greater than anything that you could ever concoct for yourself. Look at verse 1. God says to Samuel, watch this. This is going to set you free. He said, I'm sending you to Bethlehem. Listen to this. For I have provided myself a king among his sons. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite because I have provided myself a king. Do you hear the language God uses? He did not say, I'm sending you to Bethlehem because I found this little boy who's been dreaming of being a king and I really want to make his dreams come true. He's been praying and asking me, make me a king, make me a king. Please make me a king. And my heart is so moved that he wants to be a king that I just decided to make up a job for him and create this whole... No. He says, I need a king. Yeah. I've provided myself a king. He says, I was looking for somebody to fill a role that I need filled in order for my purpose to be fulfilled, and I'm going to provide a king for myself. He didn't say, I'm going to do this for David. He said he was going to do it for himself. Do you realize that your destiny is not what God will do for you? It is what God will use your life to do for himself. Yeah. It's God saying, this is what I need, and I'm looking for somebody to fill my need. Yeah. Ooh. That's good. Yeah. Your destiny is to become what God needs you to become in order to fulfill his purpose in the earth. You remember that donkey in Mark chapter 11? How could the Lord need... See, there's some theological minds in the room right now that are thinking, God don't need nothing. God don't need you. He is self-sufficient. He's God all by himself. Who are you and I to think God needs us? But you remember that donkey in Mark 11? Jesus said he needed a donkey. How can the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of the universe, have need of a donkey? He said to his disciples, he's on the Mount of Olives, he's getting ready to enter into Jerusalem in the triumphal entry, and they're getting ready to sing Hosanna in the highest, but he says to his disciples before he enters Jerusalem, he says, I need you guys to go up the hill a little ways, and you're going to find this donkey tied to a pole. I need you to untie that donkey and bring him to me. And they said, Lord, I'm from Oakland. It's dangerous to be stealing somebody's donkey with that. You can get shot for taking somebody's donkey. You don't just go up in somebody's front yard and be untying their donkey. You can get shot for that. And Jesus said, if anybody asks, what are you doing? Just look at him and say, the Lord has need of it. The Lord needs this donkey. He has a purpose and a plan that requires a donkey. And he selected this specific donkey out of all the donkeys in the land. And he's going to ride on this donkey. And he's going to be glorified on this donkey. And it ain't about the donkey. Because it would have been easy as the donkey is carrying Jesus into Jerusalem and everybody's shouting, Hosanna, glory in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David. He might have been thinking, man, I'm the most awesome donkey of all the donkeys in the world. Dang, I walk in the city, everybody be singing to me. And not realizing that it wasn't the donkey, but the Lord on the donkey. Don't be a jackass. It ain't about you. Come on, somebody. Pastor Daniels told me something this week that blew me away. You might think this is crazy, but I don't care. He said, I was asking the Lord, why did you curse that fig tree? What did the fig tree ever do? It wasn't even time for the fig tree to bear fruit, and he looked for fruit and didn't find any and cursed it. It wasn't the fig tree didn't do nothing. It wasn't time to bear fruit. That wasn't right. And he said, this might sound crazy, but he said in a vision, the fig tree spoke to him and said, why are you feeling sorry for me? Don't you know I was used by the Lord to teach a lesson to his disciples? I'm the most blessed fig tree that was ever created because the Lord used me. You're asking why me for the wrong reason. Yeah. Why me, Lord? Why you let stuff go bad for me? How come you don't bless me when you bless other people? How come you don't stop calamity from coming into my life? Why me when you should be asking me for another reason? Lord, who am I? Why would you choose me? It doesn't make any sense that you would use my life for your glory. It doesn't make any sense that you would choose me. I'm like the donkey tied to a post, but you chose me. Yeah. Your destiny is what God needs you to become. And this was the revelation God gave me when I was 16 years old. He said, I have need of you. Yeah. It just pierced me to my soul. Every time I think about it to this very day, I tremble in my heart that I heard the creator of heaven and earth speak to my heart and say, I have need of you. I have need of you. The Lord said he needs me. And it's not about what I dream. It's not about what I want. It's what the Lord needs. See, your destiny begins when you submit your heart to what the Lord needs. When your heart starts by saying, God, what do you need? What do you need? What does your plan require? What does your purpose demand? Lord, what do you need? Is there any need of yours and your purpose that I can fulfill? If you start there, you have begun the path toward your destiny. But until you get there, you're actually running away from your destiny, even as you think you're running towards it. Yeah. Even if you chose the right degree programs and got the right internship and got the right job. You see, there's an epidemic there's this epidemic of directionlessness. Especially in the millennial generation right now. Yeah. You blow here and then you blow there and you're at this job for 3 months and then you blow to that job for 3 months and this job doesn't give you the right experience you need, so you blow to that job and that job doesn't give you enough money, so you blow to this job and you're making all of the, and it's not wrong to change, don't get me wrong. The only problem is, did you actually stop and ask the Lord, what do you need from my life? I mean, have you actually stopped to pray about the direction that the Lord would lead you? I mean, when you make a major decision for your life, do you seek the Lord or do you make a wise financial decision? Yeah. Good. Even doing what's best for your family is idolatry if you have not stopped to seek the Lord. Yeah. You know what's best for your family? To be in the center of the will of God. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Your destiny is to become what God needs you to be. God said, I have provided myself a king among the sons of Jesse. And then Samuel goes. He's looking for the king that God has provided himself. And he says, Jesse, I need you and all of your sons to come to this sacrifice with me. And Jesse was so honored. Because Samuel was the great prophet in all the land. If you could imagine if in America there was one prophet of God. Right? Like just imagine, I mean, literally in Israel during the time of Samuel, there was one prophet for the whole nation. And imagine that one prophet of God showed up in your little town, journeyed from the other side of the nation to come to your little town and invited you. Bring all your sons. Come, we're going to have a worship service, and we're going to make sacrifice to the Lord. I need you guys there. Can you imagine how honored you would feel? Yeah. Samuel went home and called his seven sons together. I mean, Jesse went home and called his seven sons together, all seven of them, and said, put on your best clothes. First, take a shower. Put on some deodorant. Make sure it's not one of them extra strong deodorants that tries to be cologne. You know what I'm talking about? That stuff is just a trick of the devil. All you're doing is pushing people away with that strong stuff. Nobody want to smell no cologne, or no deodorant cologne. Anyway, and they put on their finest raiment. We had to go back to the King James English for that word. You know what raiment is? Some of y'all ain't old enough for King. See, when I grew up, we were reading from the King James. I was 6 years old reading from the King James Bible. Didn't understand a word I was reading. Vaunteth not himself. I was like, Lord, I'd go home and ask my mom, what does this mean? They put on their nicest clothes, and they came to the worship service with Samuel. And Samuel says to Jesse, bring out your first son. Let me see if the Lord has chosen him. And Eliab comes out. And Samuel says, that's the finest looking young man I've ever seen before in my life. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. And the Lord said, mm-mm. I haven't chosen him. But Lord, have you seen his educational credentials? Yes, but I have not chosen him. But Lord, have you seen his work experience? Yes, but I have not chosen him. Lord, did you notice his skill set? Yes, but I have not chosen him. Do you see how gifted he is? Yes, but I have not chosen him. Samuel, your problem is that you're looking at the outward appearance and I'm looking at the heart. You're looking at what's outward. I'm looking at what's inward. You think a man is qualified by their external circumstances. And I'm telling you that what qualifies someone in my eyes is the internal condition of their heart. And all seven of Jesse's sons pass before Samuel, and all seven of them are disqualified in succession. And Samuel says, are these all of your sons? And Jesse's like, yeah, this is all. Oh, wait a second. Wait, I do have one more son. That's right. I actually have 8 sons. I forgot. Do you see how insignificant David was in the eyes of his whole family, that not a single person thought David should be here too? None of his brothers spoke up for him. His dad didn't think about it. His mama wasn't around the corner saying, Jesse, you better call David in here. Don't you dare go to that service without David. He was so insignificant. Do you realize that nobody saw this in David but God? There's stuff in you that nobody sees but God. 100 prophets could prophesy over you, and nobody would see what God sees in you. Your family doesn't see it. You don't even see it. When you look in the mirror, you don't see the divine destiny that God has set apart for you, because you can't even know how awesome you are. You have no clue who you're sitting next to. You see, I got one more. And listen how Jesse says it. Yeah, there's one more. But he's with the sheep. Translation, we don't think much of him. He's crazy, all over the place, wild, can't calm him down, can't sit still. I think he's got ADD. When he's in the house, he does nothing but break stuff and start fights and cause trouble. Since we can't find no Ritalin, we just send him out to the sheep. Just go out there and play with the sheep, wrestle with the wolves, get all your energy out. And Samuel says, you better go get him right now, and we're not going to sit down until he comes. Do you hear what Samuel's saying? At that moment, honor was given to David that had never been given to him before in his life. And that honor, when somebody says, we're not sitting down till you come in the room, that is honor. Now, before that moment, if David had come in the room, he would have been the least esteemed person in the entire room. Nobody would have thought twice about him. But the moment God began to reveal his divine destiny, a new level of honor was bestowed upon him in the spirit that he was not qualified for in the natural. Yeah. You see, when David began to be honored, he was not honored for his degrees. He was not honored for his accomplishments. He was not honored for his skills. He was honored simply because suddenly his divine destiny was being sovereignly revealed by the Spirit of the Lord. And he comes in straight from the field. No shower, didn't have time even to run a brush through his hair. Came in looking like KD. Just naps all over the place. Smelling like sheep. I bet Samuel probably looked at him cross-eyed at first. Like, Lord, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious? Lord, can I holler at you for a second? Are you sure you chose him? And the Lord said, he's the one. Rise and anoint him. The Lord doesn't see as man sees. If God said that he had rejected the other sons because of their outward, because of the inward nature of their hearts. Even though their outward appearance was right. David comes in, his outward appearance is all wrong, but God says he's the one. Why? Because the internal nature of his heart was all right. The other sons were outwardly perfect, but inwardly flawed. David was outwardly flawed, but inwardly perfect. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be right in my heart than look on fleek in my outfit. Is your heart on fleek? That's the question. Not are your eyebrows on fleek. Is your heart on fleek? Come on, somebody. David's heart was on fleek. What was it about David's heart that qualified him? In his heart of hearts, David was a worshiper. In his heart of hearts, David was a worshiper. Do you know where David was when they went and got him? He was out there with the sheep with his little guitar out there singing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He was out there by himself shepherding sheep and worshiping the Lord. He was out there by himself writing worship songs. I want you to see something. There's this scripture in Psalm chapter 89, verse 20, where God says, "I have found my servant David." I found him. I found my servant David. With the holy oil, I will anoint him. I have anointed him. With my holy oil, I have anointed him. I have found. Now, when you find something, it means you were looking for it. Yeah. Yeah. God said, I was looking for something, and I found my servant David. What is God looking for? Remember, God said he needed a king. All right? Okay? Hold your horses. In John, what is it? John chapter 4. John chapter 4, Jesus has an encounter with the woman at the well. And in the middle of that encounter, the woman at the well says, our people say we should worship on this mountain, but the Jews say to worship on that mountain. Well, one day Messiah is going to come, and he's going to sort it out. He's going to tell us which mountain we should worship on. And Jesus says, the day is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship not on this mountain or on that mountain, but in spirit and in truth. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And then in verse 24, Jesus says, for these are the kind of worshipers the Father is seeking. God is constantly looking for something, but you know what he's looking for? He's looking for worshipers. He needed a king, but he was looking for a worshiper to fill that spot. Whatever God needs, whatever posts he needs filled, whatever positions he needs filled in his plan, in his purpose, in his kingdom, positions of greatness and power, whatever it may be, you know what he's looking for? He's looking for worshipers. And if he can't find a worshiper, he can't find anyone to fill the position that he needs. I was looking for a worshiper, and I found one. I found my servant, David. David's qualification was not his education or his experience, but his heart of worship. What qualified David was that he was a worshiper. Earlier in chapter 13, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, I believe it is, when God is taking the kingdom away from Saul, what did Samuel say to Saul? He said, "The Lord has found a man after his own heart and commanded him to be the commander over his people." He said the Lord was looking for a man after his own heart. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord travel to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely devoted to him to show himself strong on their behalf. What God is looking for are people whose hearts are completely... You know what your destiny is? Your destiny is when God shows himself strong on your behalf. It's not when you get the promotion. It's not when your boss sees how excellent you are. It's not when you start your company and it goes bacterial. It's not when it's not when you do this or you do that. It's when God shows up to show himself strong on your behalf. But there's always a period prior to the fulfillment of your destiny in which God refrains from showing himself strong on your behalf to see how long your heart can remain completely devoted to him.
Yeah.
God needed a king, but he was seeking a worshiper.
Yeah.
Verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. God will anoint you to do what he needs you to do, not what you want to do. If God would have anointed me to do what I wanted to do, I would have healed every sick person in the world already. But he don't need me to do that. The gifts of the Spirit, you know when they operate? When you want them to, or when God needs them to. God will anoint you, and the people of God are constantly crying out to God to anoint them to do all the wrong stuff. Anoint me to be a success. Anoint me to do what you need me to do. Anoint me to participate in your purpose in salvation history. Do you realize that according to Isaiah, what is it, chapter 55 or chapter 54, God even anointed a pagan king named Cyrus? Why? Because he needed him. God anoints who he needs. He'll anoint you when he needs you. I'm trying to crack through this lie that keeps you out of your destiny. And the lie is that your destiny is the fulfillment of your dreams and your desires. God may have to destroy a few of your dreams and desires in order to bring you into your destiny. And when he does so because he loves you too much to leave you in the lower purpose. He wants to take you into the higher purpose. What's the definition of a worshiper? We got it all twisted. Oh my God, he's such a powerful worshiper. No, he might just be a good singer. What a powerful worshiper she is. She may just be able to play the keyboard really good. A powerful worshiper is not a good singer. We think if we can stand on a stage and do this stuff while we sing, like the more passionate you look, the more powerful you are. Nah. The definition of a worshiper is one whose heart is surrendered to the Lord. Worship is the act of surrender to God. You can worship without singing, and you can sing without worshiping. You could be completely tone deaf and be a powerful worshiper. And you can have the greatest musical abilities in the world, and not a single ounce of worship has come from you, because your worship is in your surrender, not in your musical giftings. Is this getting too heavy? I'm coming in for a landing. Let the musician get ready, because by 12:30, we're bringing this thing home. The heart of the worshiper is the heart that is surrendered to the purpose of God rather than insisting upon having it its own way. The heart of the worshiper is the heart that is surrendered to God rather than insisting upon having its own way. And the freedom of the worshiper comes from knowing that God's plan for my life is infinitely greater than any plan that I could ever concoct for myself. Yeah. Now watch this. Come on up. Start playing. That will encourage me to end this. The anointing comes upon David. His destiny is revealed. Now his whole family and all the elders of Bethlehem know this man is the king. I thought he was a shepherd, but God just said he's the king. We thought he was the least esteemed member of his household. We thought he was the least significant, but God just gave him honor and said he's the most significant. He went from being the least esteemed member of his household to the highest esteemed member of the whole nation of Israel. That's promotion. And that promotion happens the moment God begins to reveal your destiny prophetically, which we're going to talk in a future message. Because in order for you to fulfill your destiny, God has to reveal it prophetically. It's not just about, you know, you taking your dreams and God just destroying the ones that he doesn't like and fulfilling the ones that he likes. No, God wants to prophetically reveal your destiny. But the moment David's destiny is prophetically revealed, You must understand that the revelation of your destiny is not the same thing as the release into it. Because God revealed that David was king, but did not release him to become king at that moment. God says, you're the king. He was anointed with oil. The Holy Spirit came mightily upon him. Now get back out there to the sheep. His situation had not changed even a little bit. His circumstances had not shifted even a little bit. He was not suddenly given a higher level of honor in his family than before. Even though they knew his destiny, there was still nothing even his family members could do to fulfill it. Yeah. Don't people know who I am around here? Even if they do, they can't make you who you are. Even if they do, they can't fulfill the call of God. See, you're expecting people around you to fulfill that which only God can fulfill. Go back out there to the sheep, David. Now you know who you're going to be, what you're going to be. Now you know what I'm going to do in your life. Now you know what walls I'm going to tear down, but get back out there to the sheep. Okay, but how long before you fulfill it, Lord? That's none of your business. Get back out there to the sheep. Yeah. Okay, but Lord, now that I know what my calling is, surely you don't expect me to go out here with these stinky sheep anymore. Yes, I do. Get back out there to the sheep. Yeah. Well, there's no way I'm going to do this. Why? Because I've been called to be a prophet to the nation, so I can't be out here with dirty. I can't move chairs at church when I'm called to be a prophet to the nation. Yes, you can. Get out there and move them chairs. I can't stay in this job where nobody knows who I am and nobody respects me and nobody. Yes, you can. Get back out there to that job. Yeah. I'm not saying God can't shift you in the meantime. God can shift you. Yeah. I'm not saying that God doesn't move you. I'm not even saying that you have to stay in a terrible situation because God just wants you to stay there and be manipulated. Let the Lord move you when it's his time to move you. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm saying don't think that just because you got a prophetic sense of who you are that that qualifies you to suddenly promote yourself and think that you're too high and lofty. Listen, the revelation of your destiny does not change your circumstance. It changes your heart. You're looking at the outward, external situation. God is looking at your heart. The revelation of your destiny, it brings about an intentional period of preparation to fulfill it. From the moment you know it to the moment God fulfills it in your life is called the period of preparation. God first prepares you in the secret when you don't even know you're being prepared because you don't even know what your destiny is. But then suddenly God begins to reveal it, and as he reveals it, now you're thrust into a more intentional period of preparation when God is really looking at your heart. He's really looking at your heart. He's going to comb through your life with a fine-tooth comb. He's going to deal with you in ways that he doesn't deal with other people. He's going to break you in ways that he hasn't broken other people. He's going to confront you of stuff that he might have winked at it in somebody else's life, but not you. He's not going to wink at it in your life anymore. Why? Because you have a destiny that's too great. And he's got to break you. You know what he's looking for? You were a worshiper when he chose you. What he's really looking for is, will you continue to be a worshiper after I show you how great I'm going to make you? Or will you graduate from worship? Because now you're great. Will you become so great in your own heart that you have graduated from your humility? The Lord was speaking to me this morning. The Lord's been speaking to me the last couple of weeks about humbling myself under his mighty hand. At times it's painful. And the Lord spoke to me this morning and he said, don't allow your heart to become proud in your humility. Don't allow your heart to go, yes, I've humbled myself so well. Lord, thank you for humbling me because now you can exalt me. God exalts you in the midst of your humility, not as a means of graduating you from it. What God wants to know is, will you continue to be a worshiper? Destiny is the work of the worshiper.
Yeah, yeah.
Success may be the work of the excellent, but destiny is the work of the worshiper.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. Success and destiny are not the same thing. You might be successful, but you not haven't necessarily found your destiny because you found your success. It might make you feel real good. You might be very successful, and you might even become very wealthy and very famous. That doesn't mean you found your destiny because, you know, the world likes you and you made a lot of money. You might be as far from your destiny as the East is from the West. Destiny is the work of the worshiper. It requires a heart of worship. It requires a heart that's willing to surrender to the Lord. There is no destiny without surrender. Sorry. You don't surrender, you're going to miss it. Your purpose is to be loved by God in eternity. And you almost can't mess that one up. Almost. The jury's still out on whether you can or not. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Your purpose, the reason you exist, is to be loved by Him in eternity, not just to be tasked by Him in time. You can fulfill your purpose, but your destiny? You can mess that one up. You can mess it up so bad that you never fulfill it. You can leave that one behind. Still go to heaven because your purpose is secure. He still loves you, and you still love Him, but you never surrendered in your heart, so you can't fulfill your destiny. Until your heart surrenders, you have no hope of finding your destiny. But here's the beautiful thing. This is the beautiful thing about it. The moment your heart surrenders, like that very moment, that very instant, the moment your heart says, "Your will be done, not mine. Lord, you know I have all these hopes and dreams, and you know I have all of these things that I desire to fulfill in my life, but Lord, I surrender them all to you." At the moment your heart actually does that, you're already on the way. You're already on the way. Destiny is the work of the worshiper. If you want God's plan for your life, you must prioritize your worship. You must not prioritize your path toward greatness. You must not prioritize your plan. You must prioritize your worship. You don't have time to stop and glory in how successful you've become. You don't have time to stop and feel good about, like Jesus, when the disciples came and said, "Lord, we cast out 27.9 demons each." It's like, yeah, you ain't got time to rejoice in that. That's nice. Cool. You must prioritize your worship. Bow your heads. Precious Heavenly Father, I pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would work within our hearts a prioritization of our worship. That whatever you're doing in this season in our lives, that our hearts would submit to it. Some of us are going through a period of chastening. I know I am. But you chasten whom you love. Our fathers disciplined us as they saw fit, but you discipline us for our benefit, that we might be partakers of your holiness. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you would circumcise our hearts and the hearts of our descendants, that we might love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and live. Take from us the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Put your spirit in us and let us live. You're not looking at the external, you're looking at the internal. You're not looking at our gifts today, you're looking at our hearts. You're looking into my heart, you're looking into my heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And cast me not away from your presence, O God, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way within me and lead me in the way everlasting. Just begin to deal with the Lord right now. Just begin to talk to the Lord right now. Just begin to release control of your life. Just begin to surrender. Come back to the heart of worship.
of this world could never satisfy.
The truth of the matter is, God has need of you. He needs you. But he's waiting for us to become worshipers. He needs a king, but he's looking for a worshiper. He's ready to make you a king, but you got to become a worshiper. Destiny is the work of the worshiper. Holy Spirit, I pray you establish that in our hearts today. In Jesus' mighty name. Now just stand up on your feet and just lift your hands to the Lord and just worship him. Just for 30 seconds, just worship him. Just worship him. Just extend all that you are and all that you have. Worship him with all that you are. Like David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So often we worship the Lord with some of what's within us, but God's looking for us to worship him with all that is within us. Would you just open your mouth and make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Would you just worship him, worship him, worship him? Just worship him, worship him. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word does not return to you void, but it accomplishes that for which you sent it to accomplish. I thank you that you sent us your word today. I pray that as we go out from this place, we would not go out from your presence. I speak blessing and encouragement over each and every heart, and I pray that you would work within us the heart of the worshiper. I pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Our leaders are going to be here at the altar if you need special prayer. Our leaders are going to be here to pray with you. Also, take a moment to answer those discussion questions on the back of the outline so that you can be ready to discuss these things. It's really, really good, really, really important to write these things down when they're fresh in your heart and mind. Are you listening? It's really important to write this stuff down when it's fresh in your heart and mind, because if you wait till later, you're going to forget what the Lord was putting on your heart today. And so just take a moment to answer those questions on the back of the outline. Whether for your own good or for the benefit of your community group this week, it'll be much better if you do it soon. But our leaders are here to pray for any individual who needs special prayer today. God bless you. Barbecue. The barbecue is starting soon.